questioning billions in aid to Egypt as violence rages.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. America sends $1.5 billion in aid to Egypt. That's now under greater scrutiny as violence escalates and criticism grows of Egypt's military-backed regime. Here's Senator Jack Reed on NBC.
The acts of the last few days by the Egyptian military are completely unconscionable, and I do believe we have to change our aid.
News today that the European Union also rethinking aid to Egypt. Marketplace's Stephen Beard joins us from London. Hi there, Stephen.
Hello, Mark.
So what does Europe want in return for this aid?
It will repeat its call for the bloodshed to come to an end, and it will insist on some kind of reconciliation between the military and the Muslim Brotherhood, the former ruling party in Egypt.
And give a sense just how much impact will this European threat of rethinking, of potentially cutting off aid, delaying aid, what will that have in terms of impact on the Egyptian military regime?
Well, the military leadership has been bragging in recent days that they don't need Western aid. The billion or so dollars a year from the US and a similar sum from the EU are dwarfed by the $12 billion pledged by Saudi Arabia and other Gulf countries. And the Saudis in particular hate the Muslim Brotherhood and so far seem quite happy with the coup and the crackdown. But none of this $12 billion has actually materialized yet, and Egypt's economic plight worsens by the day. Middle East analyst Nabila Ramdani says Egypt cannot afford to lose any aid.
So there's a real danger that Egypt will find itself without much financial support in the end, even though the generals for now are adopting a very defiant tone.
And adding to the regime's woes, the IMF has made it clear that $4.5 billion worth of proposed loans are now off the table. So financial as well as political pressures are mounting against the regime.
A lot of discussions going on around the world about that. Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Mark.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading. European markets mostly down at the moment. Asian stocks earlier closed mixed. Friday on Wall Street, the S&P closed down 0.33%. The Dow dropped 0.2% to close at 15,081. That ended its worst week of the year. Japan sells a lot more cars to America than vice versa. Today, U.S. Trade Representative Michael Froman is in Tokyo trying to change that, at least a little. Stan Alcorn reports.
The best-selling car in Japan is made by the same company as the best-selling car in the U.S.
Toyota. Let's go places.
But while Japanese automakers like Toyota sell more than a third of new cars in the U.S., American automakers haven't been able to crack 10% in the Japanese market. They blame what they call non-tariff barriers.
Mostly we're talking about regulation.
Mireya Solis is the night chair in Japan studies at the Brookings Institution.
Like, for example, safety standards, emission testing, all these things that the producers need to comply with in order to bring their products to the market.
The U.S. is pushing Japan to loosen those regulations as part of a larger free trade agreement called the Trans-Pacific Partnership. But for Ford, GM, and Chrysler, the future is elsewhere, according to Edmunds.com analyst Michelle Krebs.
Frankly, all the growth in the future is going to be overseas and not in Japan.
Krebs says growth will come from the big emerging market countries like Brazil and China. In New York, I'm Stan Alcorn for Marketplace.
Staying in Asia, Tibet brings to mind everything from Buddhism to Himalayan peaks to political protests of Chinese rule. But you probably don't think first or second or third about private equity firms. Nonetheless, some of those investment companies are moving to Tibet, lured by big tax breaks. To explain what's going on, we're joined by Heather Timmons of the business news site Quartz. She's with us from Hong Kong. Hello, Heather.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. So why are Chinese officials in Tibet rolling out tax breaks for firms to move there?
It's part of an overarching plan to get more Han Chinese invested in Tibet, to bring the area closer to China and involve it more closely with the Chinese economy.
And give a sense, obviously, China's rule of Tibet quite controversial and the government wants to maintain control there. So talk about how getting other Chinese firms to move there relates to the larger political situation in the region.
when you have a population in Tibet that suddenly is not 100% Tibetan or maybe is only 50% Tibetan, you have less of a chance of having those political uprisings and violent crackdowns.
And then there are other regions and whole countries that try to better their economy by offering tax breaks to companies to relocate. Is there any sense that Tibet, the region, is benefiting from having private equity firms on the tax rolls?
Although there has been a big push to try to get investors into Tibet, right now the only investment that's happening is Chinese tourism companies and hotels that are catering to Chinese tourists because it's so difficult for everyone else to get a visa there. So right now, no, there doesn't seem to be any greater benefit for the rest of the Tibet population.
Now, to be clear on this story, we're not expecting Bain Capital or some American private equity firm to move in for a lot of reasons, but especially because foreign travel to Tibet is restricted. Now, but all this private equity wooing aside, like what kind of economic shape is Tibet in generally?
Well, it's hard to say because although official GDP figures have been double-digit growth for several years in a row now, it's very difficult to get an on-the-ground picture. It's hard for someone like me or you to get there. For people that have traveled back and forth that I have talked to, they said they haven't seen the kind of building that you would think you would see with double-digit growth. Cranes everywhere and buildings going up and a sense of a whole lot of industry happening. So those are the numbers that are being reported. There's a lot of suspicion about them.
Understood. Heather Timmons of Quartz, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Find more stories and tell us what you think anytime at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.